Hello again. It's Jay and Andy with Treetop Talks.
Welcome to the show, guys.
It's been a while since we've done a podcast. Mr. Sherwood was down in Georgia all summer, and
yeah.
I ended up getting married, so...
It's been quite the summer for the two of us, you could say.
We've been doing some stuff, but we're back, and we're ready for another episode of Treetop Talks. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today, Andy?
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
We're going to be talking about old trees, and not just like regular old trees. We're talking like ancient trees that are thousands of years old. The youngest ones we're going to be talking about today are 2,000 years old.
And you know, we talked before about some oak trees and how cool like a 200-year-old oak is or a 300-year-old oak, but when you start looking at a tree that's been around for thousands of years, I mean...
That's pretty amazing.
It's just impressive.
Yeah.
That thing has been through numerous empires and, you know, land changes.
So many catastrophes in its time,
right.
Probably.
There's been natural disasters all around it, and it's just stood the test of time. And that's something that we need to recognize as humans on this earth, is there's some stuff here that's been here. Well... I mean, some of our older trees, they're up there in the 5,000-year mark.
Yeah, spanning through history.
Right.
Staying in one spot.
Even 2000 BC. That's back.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
And so let's maybe talk a little bit about why this is important from other, you know, scientific aspects. Just because a tree is old, what is that, you know, what does that mean? But it can tell us historically some pretty cool stuff too.
Right. Tree rings are a great resource. When an old tree dies, and they can look at the cross section of the trunk and not only count the rings to see exactly how old it is, but the size and the color of the rings tell them a lot about what the climate was, you know, thousands of years ago when the tree was pretty young. And it can tell them if the tree was growing rapidly that the conditions were good for trees, probably warm weather. And if they got really small, tight growth rings, then it was probably bad conditions and the tree didn't really grow much for that period of time, for certain years.
It's pretty cool to be able to look back at that and match that up from a historical aspect with, you know, just what we believe happened in the previous years for weather events and natural disasters and such, just to look at those rings. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's a great way to see how these ancient organisms have survived a lot of those events.
So we're going to move into a couple of species that we're going to talk about today. And these are some of the ones that are just old. Plain and simple, they are living artifacts. They are just ancient giants. Some of them. Some are actually pretty small.
Yeah, but they're all ancient.
So let's go ahead and kick things off with some aspens.
Yeah, I think as we begin here, it's good to make a distinction between old clonal trees and old non-clonal trees. Because clonal trees, like aspen, are 80,000 years old. At least this one is in Utah called Pando, which means I spread in Latin. So it's a clonal tree, and it's the roots that are that old.
Right.
The stems are trees, and it's an entire forest. It covers 106 acres.
It's the Pando out in Utah. It's got over 40,000 aspen trees, and they all come from this one root system that's 80,000 years old.
All of the trees in that forest are genetically identical.
Right,
they're one tree.
They have no variation whatsoever. It's actually really amazing. And they're, like they said, they believe those root systems have been there for 80,000 years. And wow, that's a long time. They think, I believe it said one place, I'm not sure if this is true, but it's one of the largest, if not the largest and oldest organisms on the planet that they can nail down.
I think, it's the oldest living organism.
Right. And I mean, 106 acres, that's just,
that's massive.
I mean, you think about a 1 acre, you know, lot, which for a city is pretty big, but out in the country, you know, a guy can imagine what 1 acre looks like. You can also imagine what 106 of them look like.
Yeah, that's a pretty big tree.
Right.
It's an entire forest, really.
It's a forest of one. Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Very amazing.
Anything else about the aspens I want to throw in there?
Yeah, well, they actually The USDA manages this forest to keep it healthy. And one technique that they use is a prescribed burning. They'll let burn sections of the forest on regular intervals to rejuvenate the trees. So it'll kill up and burn up all of the old trees to allow them to grow young and vigorous growth, which grows the fastest, since it doesn't need to reproduce in any way but vegetatively. It's best for the tree system to have young vegetative growth to grow as quickly as possible.
And another benefit from those burns too is you get, you know, it'll wipe out any, it won't wipe out, but it'll lower the chance of disease and right. kind of get rid of some pest problems by keeping that, I don't want to call it clutter, but
yeah,
you know, keeping it a healthy forest requires you to get out some of that dead stuff sometimes, because that's a really, especially in a clonal forest, you don't want to get something in there that could attack it, because they're all the same, so it would be a disaster.
Yeah, if one big fungus comes through that it's susceptible to, it can really do a lot of damage. So, that's why it's important to burn that up and get rid of all the fungus that's breaking those logs down.
And, back in, a couple hundred years ago and earlier, that just happened naturally. You know, burns were just kind of a thing. The Native Americans used to use them all the time. So it's not a new technique that we're doing by any means, but it's just important that people understand that we still are managing that, and that needs to continue to be a huge part of, if we're going to continue to urbanize, our management of these ancient aspens out in Utah.
Yeah, and they do that in lots of forests too. But right. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they do that to such an old and unique forest.
Big responsibility.
Yeah, it is. Oldest organism on the planet. All
right, so maybe
let's move on to
olives.
The olives. Yeah. So now we're switching gears to oldest non-clonal.
Right. Seed propagation.
One big trunk. A lot
one
of these are
big tree
old,
that's
twisted
just
twisted or gnarly.
Right. Living in the same spot, and it's just honestly, these trees are kind of ugly. If you were just going past them, some of them are not the prettiest to look at, but
they got scars, that's for
right,
sure.
Especially olive trees. I personally think they're really cool. They get really knotty, and their trunks get really big around. And they have, there's actually a lot, well, I should say, there's many olive trees that are 2,000 to 3,000 years old. There's the oldest one, we get conflicting dates on that one, but it's probably between 2 and 3, maybe over 3,000 years
possibly,
old.
Possibly, yeah. These are located in the Mediterranean.
Correct.
On one specific island called Bouvs?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that right.
It's kind of difficult to pronounce.
Bouves.
That's where they got that one that's 42 feet.
42 feet in circumference.
Right. Just around the trunk. I mean, it's huge.
It's a massive tree. Because of all, as I look at the picture right now, it's because of all the knots and burls that the trunk has, and it's just huge to begin with, and then covered in those makes it even bigger. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it just gets so wide. They don't get overly tall. I mean,
stumpy.
All the trees naturally probably aren't going to get really higher than 30 or 40 feet.
Yeah, I see 40 to 50 on this website.
They're a relatively medium-sized tree in the scheme of things, but like you said, that ability to just keep growing wider is what makes them really cool, and is actually kind of causing an issue over there in Europe, where they have these olive trees that are not necessarily 2,000 to 3,000 years old, but like 500 to 700 years old, and they'll actually dig them up and sell them on the black market. And so they've been trying to deal with that now, because I mean, that's a pretty old tree to rip out of the ground and sell for 5 or 12,000 euros. Like,
right.
How do you put a price on hundreds of years of work and historical value?
Yeah, trying to get rich quick on old artifacts really is what they are. They've stood the test of time, and for people to just dig those out and sell them is.
Especially in Europe, where there's so much history over in that Italy and Greece area and Spain. Those trees have seen quite a few things even in the last 100 years or so. So for them to be that old and be dug out like that, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so I mean, and olive trees, the cool thing there is too, you see a lot of references in the historical literature about old olive trees being around. So yeah. It's one of those that has not only stood the test of time 2,000 to 3,000 years, but even we can probably make a pretty good hypothesis that 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, there was 2,000 to 3,000 year old olive trees around then.
Yeah.
Just judging from some of the historical texts we see out there.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think that in some of the historical texts, when they reference olive trees, they happen to be talking about a young olive tree. It might be one that is still alive today,
mm-hmm.
that we could go see the tree that they wrote about thousands of years ago.
Right. It's pretty cool thing.
It really is.
Well,
I think that brings us...
That brings us to yous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not you as in like, oh, you, no, Y-E-W. These are some pretty old trees, too.
This one's not quite as 4,000 years old.
Yeah, I'm seeing 4,000 to 5,000 year old. Right, over there in Wales.
North Wales.
Yeah. That's the one that they've been looking at, and they believe it's so old that it actually split in half. And so it's two separate trunks that are 40 and 20 feet wide, respectively, but were one trunk at one time. But
it gives the tree a really unique look.
It's very cool.
Makes it very wide.
I would recommend you look this tree up. It's over in Wales. Just type in oldest yew, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's got, I don't even know how to describe that bark on there.
Oh, it's kind of scaly. It's like it almost looks like it's got like an aerial buttress roots growing out of the ground.
It looks like it has aerial roots, and then it's got these branches coming out really, really close to the soil.
Yeah.
That's really unique about it too, and it's all fenced off, of course, because it's super old. But for those who have just been there, even for the last couple hundred years and not get broken off or something, it's pretty amazing. And they're saying that, some people are saying that this is the oldest tree in Europe, which is probably true if it's, that 4,000, 5,000 year mark. Yeah. That's up there with the oldest tree currently known of, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's going to be our species highlight this time.
Really excited for that one, but we won't jump the gun on you. So, what else about the yew over there in Wales? It's got ring count is 120 per inch. So that gives you just kind of an idea of how slow these trees grow. I mean, when you're talking about looking at rings, you're microscopic.
Mm-hmm. You know? To get that big, they have to grow slowly in really dense wood in order to fight off diseases and pests, make it harder for them to eat the wood and digest it.
And so that's how these things survive.
That's part of the defense mechanism that allows them to be thousands of years old, in this case 4,000 to 5,000.
Incredibly badass.
is.
Growing on a microscopic scale for thousands of years. It's just,
pretty too cool.
Well,
so should we move on to
the redwoods? Now, this will be a more popular one with our North American listeners, because I'm pretty sure most of them, and most of probably Europe, would know the redwood forests in California. They've been made pretty popular and a pretty big tourist attraction for the state of California. The oldest one I'm reading is roughly like 3,600 years old, somewhere in there.
Is up there in age and in size too.
Right.
These are massive trees.
That I believe they're some of the biggest or the biggest that exist.
Some of the tallest. I think.
Right. For tall, not diameter, but how tall are you seeing that they can get over there?
Hundreds of feet.
I'm seeing 76 meters, and that's about 250 feet.
Okay, 250 feet.
Largest one stands in General Sherman, 275 feet, and that's in Sequoia National Park. They even have a weight on that. That's kind of funny. 2.7 million pounds, it's saying. That's ridiculous. But I have not yet gotten out to California to see these redwoods, I would really like to. I know they just lost one of their cool ones that people could drive their car through, and all that came down, and that was really depressing. But there's still more there.
There's There's lots of them still. Yeah, for now.
They're just a really incredible testament to how big these trees can get and be that old.
And an interesting thing about these is kind of opposite to the yews, is these grow really fast when they're young. They shoot up like meters per year and get crazy tall really fast, and then they slow down and just stay that huge size and just get bigger and bigger and bigger from there.
And that's also, it's just interesting that you point out it's totally opposite of it. The yews, but it works for them, and that, you know, whether that's because they could just be taller than everything else around them, and the increased air movement that goes along with being 250 feet up in the air.
Different strategies.
Keep those fungal and disease levels low.
Right, maybe.
Maybe, I'm sure they've studied that. Maybe.
Very amazing trees, though.
There's some really cool pictures of the redwoods. I'm sure you can easily find those online. We don't have to describe their appearance too much to you. It's pretty obvious from their name. Tall and red. And
yeah.
Just massive.
Yeah, conifers.
Okay. And another thing with the redwood is the lumber has been a very high value, making it a controversial issue these days because, I mean, redwood is very durable. It's very rot resistant, doesn't warp, and it's a soft wood.
And it's a great color too, having a reddish hue.
And you think about in the logging industry how much wood you can get off of one that's 250 feet tall.
It's a lot of wood.
You can see why the logging has been greatly, greatly valued, but also in the last 100 years greatly, greatly reduced.
Right.
Because you do not see very many redwoods anywhere else.
Yeah, and they're so old, it takes them thousands of years to get that big. Right. And so as you cut one down, you know, for lumber, you lose something that's that old and that's not really quickly replaceable by any means.
No, it's not a sustainable form.
Right.
That pretty much sums up redwoods there.
Yeah, I think we're ready to go on to our species highlights.
Species of the week.
Bristlecone pine.
Pinus longava. And it is a beauty.
It really is.
You have to have an artistic sense to see it, but it is beautiful. This tree is found up in, I believe it's a mountain in California, Utah, or Nevada.
I think it's in Utah.
I think it's in Utah also. And that's the only place you'll find this type of pine, and you're only going to find it on high mountain ranges.
Right.
Where you have extreme wind and extreme cold.
Yeah. Amazing exposure that the tree lives through on a daily basis for 5,000 years.
5,000 years is what they're saying this one is, and it currently holds the record. And they say 5,062 or 63, but
I don't know how they get that precise with it, but
they might have methods, but it's old.
It's over 5,000 years old.
It currently holds the title of oldest, so we had to recognize it in our species of the week. So
yeah, that is just a very cool tree. It's big diameter and it's really twisted, and it looks like it's been beaten by the wind for 5,000 years.
Yes, it does. Its needles are really short, and it's an evergreen because obviously it's a pine, but it's got inch to inch and a half needles, so almost like spruce-like needles.
Yeah, short, stubby.
Right. They're curved and dark green, and they usually have lots of little white dots on them, and they remain on the tree for 10 to 17 years, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah. They're in bundles or vesicles of five on the branch.
Mm-hmm. The twigs on it are kind of orangish brown, but then they get really dark with age, and it's really cool because this pine is shaped by the wind as it grows, because it's been there for so long that the wind is actually the driving force up there in the mountain ranges. So you won't see them get more than 40 or 50 feet tall, and you can find them in some really, really extreme shapes.
The oldest one is, it looks kind of crazy, like it looks like an alien tree almost.
Right. It's just low to the ground in some places. It just looks like it's been shaped. You can tell it looks like a wind current almost.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of cool. You will find some straight up and down ones too sometimes, mm-hmm. but most often they are not going to have much bark on them either.
Right, there's a lot of exposed wood that's right. just old wood that eventually died over the course of the tree's life and, I don't know, dead branches.
And that's what makes these trees so ugly. Is there's, yeah. just, there's often not a lot to them, and they look like a dying tree, but that dying tree is actually living and has been living there for 5,000 years. So that's just really cool. I would really like to get out to the mountains and check those out one time, too.
I would. There's actually, on the USDA website that I'm looking at, there's actually a disclaimer about conservation that when people go to look at these. So if you're listening to this and you ever go to see these trees, be careful not to break them. Don't touch the trees because they're old and vulnerable, and there's not very many of them that are that old. So just be careful not to damage them if you
don't climb on them, you know. Don't set things on them, or
don't hang your coat up a branch or something.
You know, normally I'd tell you to go up and hug it, but maybe just use caution. Because, yeah, like you said, these are living artifacts. You should treat them in a similar way you would treat an artifact in a museum.
Yeah, they're old and they demand respect for how long they've survived in that, in this case, extremely exposed location.
Right. Up there in the mountains, just constant wind, constant snow, getting eroded away, and growing less than an inch a year. Far less than an inch a year, in most cases, because the growing season is so short.
Yeah, and it just takes it and grows.
It's just a fantastic tree, awesome. So that was our species highlight of the week, obviously, because you can't have an oldest tree podcast and not give a special shout out to the world record holder.
Yeah.
But like I said, they are constantly trying to beat that, though.
The
U over in Wales. You know, we might not have found the oldest tree yet. We'll see.
Right. They're always still sampling more trees that seem old to see how old they are. And yeah, maybe we'll find some tree someday that's even older than any of these.
Right. As we get better with, you know, dating and aging trees, the technology will become more readily available,
mm-hmm.
and people will just continue to find these really old-looking trees. And
yeah.
That's the fun part about it, is you can only be the world record holder for so long.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I think that's all we've got for this episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. This has been Tree Top Talks.